Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Here's a thought I often muse on. I don't know if you've ever wondered about it yourself. What would the world, what would life be without music? No Beethoven, Beatles, no hymns, hip-hop, no music radio, no iPod, CD, vinyl, no musical instrument to play. Life would be so much more empty, so much less rich, less joyful, thoughtful. The story of music goes back thousands of years, and it's always featured prominently in the Christian story, from David and his harp, 1,000 years BC, to Hillsong today. On Open House tonight, we have two of today's contemporary Christian musicians, singers, songwriters, who are headlining the Twist Music Conference in mid-October, celebrating 10 years of emu music. They are Trevor Hodge, who wrote My Saviour and My King, No Other Name, and You Loved Me, and Greg Cooper, whose credits include On Our Side and This Is Love. Greg also plays guitar on Garage Hymnal. He was in a couple of years ago. We featured them on Open House. Greg and Trevor, welcome to Open House.
Thanks, Lee.
Thanks for having us.
Great to meet you guys. Thanks for coming in. Has that thought ever exercised your minds? What would the world, what would life be like without music? Trevor.
It's interesting to think about. It hasn't really crossed my mind that much because I think music is so much a part of my life. But you think about the soundtrack that it plays to so many important events.
Yes.
Like I can think of the music my wife and I walked out of church to, and the music that was playing as our son was born. And so it soundtracks our life.
Greg, why do you think it's so associated with events? What's going on in our brains with music then?
I think there's something in all of us which latches on to melody and to chords and to the emotion that comes through music. And I've done a lot of thinking about it, but I don't know if we can properly explain it. I'm sure there's someone out there who's done theses on this kind of thing. But I think there's something about, I mean, looking at it from the other way, there's something about a good song which captures an emotion and captures a feel and a mood which just taps into something that's within us. That so when that song plays, that emotion is brought out in us.
Greg, have you ever thought why God gave the world music, gave humans the gift of music to write, perform and enjoy?
Well, it's a good gift for starters. It's something that's enjoyable and fun and brings out great emotion. But I can only think that it operates at a level that is, I was going to say above, but perhaps stands next to sort of thinking and reason and that sort of thing, and just operates at an emotional level. I think we've all had those experiences when you're singing a song in church. You can feel like the truths that you've read in scripture, or the things that you've prayed about, or the musings that you've had, or the thoughts that you've had, kind of suddenly operate at a different level when the music kicks in and your heart is engaged in a slightly different way. Not a superior way by any means, slightly different way. You're engaged in a different way.
You've got that passage in Zephaniah where it says that God sings over us.
Mm.
So I think it's a part of who God is, and therefore if we're made in his image, that's a part of how we can express ourselves as well. And then I think you're right about the stickability of music as well. It's a gift that God's given us to implant truths deep within us. And it's Deuteronomy 31 where God gives the law and it says, write this down, teach it to your children, let them sing it. Unfortunately, when they've forgotten about me, they still remember the song.
Mm.
It's a fascinating passage.
Mm. Yeah.
I was at a Nathan Tasker concert the other night where he referenced, I think it was Luther who said, he held up the Bible and said, this is the gospel. And then he held up a hymnal and he said, and this is how we remember it.
Mm.
So that's an interesting thought.
Yes, indeed. Trevor, the music industry broadly is in a huge state of flux and change at the moment. It's a challenging time for musos and singers. The free-for-all of digital music.
Mm.
You're feeling the pressure. Are you feeling optimistic?
I find it pretty exciting because there's things opening up that were just not possible 5-10 years ago, that I can record a song in my spare room, release it onto the internet. And I was looking the other days, one of the sites that I put music up on, I've had downloads from Switzerland, Madagascar, like it gives global access. So that was just unthinkable 5 years ago. So yes. I think there's a real exciting potential of the new medium and what's happening at the moment.
Greg, in the Christian sphere, the place of music, the quality and quantity of music has exploded over the last couple of decades. Has that always been a good thing?
I can't say whether it's always been a good thing. I feel right now it is a good thing. I feel like there's something to be said for quality through quantity. I don't think everything out there is brilliant, but I think that what happens is that by having that much out there, it allows the best stuff to rise to the top. What I mean by the best stuff is the stuff that's theologically true and sound and musically is outstanding and that marries the two together. So I think there is a lot more, and why I think it's good at the moment is that I think the listener is being forced to be more discerning. And in the same way that when you go and hear a preacher and you hear them interpret the word and you're forced to weigh up, you know, the soundness of their approach, I think the listener is being challenged to do the same thing with music.
That's a good thing.
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. Mm. One of the biggest juggles you've just mentioned is that between music and lyrics. So there's a lot of music where it's all about the music,
right,
and that's about it, and the lyrics, the meaning, take a back seat. There are also songs, conversely, where all the right and proper, theologically correct lyrics are crafted, and the music's really, really ordinary.
Mm.
How do you get the balance right, Trevor?
You struggle for it with every song, I think. Yeah, I think it's really important that the lyrics of the songs we sing become the truths that we own. People say, show me your hymn book and I'll show you your theology. And so it's critical that our lyrics are sound and evocative and deep and rich. And yet if the music that's carrying it doesn't support that, then the song, I suppose, won't survive in a sense. And it won't let people own the song. That's really, when I'm writing, I'm really thinking about how can this be a song that someone else will own, that it's not my song anymore, it's their song and their expression of their praise or prayer. And so it needs to be really accessible and good and strong musically to be able to do that.
Too right. Greg, I've often thought this, and I'm sure I'm not alone, I've often thought, I could write songs. It's not very hard. How difficult is it? And what's the process like to do this well?
Well, there's songs and there's songs.
Yes. So that's the well thing.
So the thing is, you know, I've been chipping away at songwriting for a number of years, and I suppose there's the songs that you write at home just come out of pure emotion and you really don't have to give too much thought to. But it all comes down to audience and intended audience. And the intended audience for that song is probably myself. And, you know, if I want to release it on an album or something, I could if I wanted to. But writing congregational music is a whole different story. And what we're really doing is we're putting words in people's mouths when we're asking them to sing congregational songs. You know, it's a high standard. You know, songwriting in the media is portrayed as flashes of inspiration and people come up with these gems. But the more and more I read about it, it's about discipline. It's sort of 10% inspiration, 90% perspiration. And so it you can get that initial nugget of gold through inspiration, but I think then it becomes a refining process of writing verse after verse after verse and working out which lyrics will be the best and the most stickable and be truest to the theme that you're trying to address. And then it's a process of often in a church setting, taking it to your church band or your church and trying it out. And, you know, I'm very grateful that my church is very kind and gracious and, and allows us to test out songs and revise songs. And it often takes a few months for a song to settle.
I'll take it all back. That seems like hard work to me. Can I ask you both just quickly, what do you reckon drives you in your particular field of endeavour in music lyrics? Trevor?
It's a good question. I think for me, it's that whole idea of equipping the church with resources to worship God through song. That's not only with songs themselves, but doing training events like we're talking about here to equip music teams to be able to best serve their churches, to support song leaders and worship leaders to do that really effectively. So I think that's definitely something that drives me.
Great. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, it's definitely those things. And for me, it's also those conversations that you have with people in church, you know, after a certain song has been sung and you realize the power of music to access people at a level that other things can't. Mm. And it allows, as I say before, when songs are putting words in people's mouths, it allows them to say things that often they can't say in the spoken word or in a conversation or in a pastoral conversation even, but they can say it through song. And so for me, it's those moments which often drive me to want to equip the church with songs.
Must be a sweet spot, a very gratifying moment, actually.
I think it is. I mean, imagine preachers must say the same thing, or carers or other people involved in various ministries. Yeah. When you feel that, you know, you're able to be of service to someone, that's a wonderful thing.
So why do you think it is, with all styles of music in church, from the traditional to the contemporary, that it's often the case that if there's trouble in the church, it's about music? Trevor?
It's really sad, particularly because I think one of the great gifts of music is its ability to unite people in singing together. So it's really ironic that it does tend to bring disunity as well. If you think about it, in any group of people, everyone's listening to something different. Everyone has their different preferences. I wonder whether some of the problem is, though, that some of our approach to church has been affected by our consumer culture. We want our preference and we want to demand our preference. I don't know. I think there's a lot of things shaping it.
Ego.
I'm sure. That's all of us, isn't it?
Ego is a dirty word, actually. The word worship gets bandied about so much today, with music very much part of that. Lots of concepts, lots of definitions of what that actually is. Greg, what's your take on that?
Put simply, we'd probably go back to Romans 12. You know, we are to live all of our lives as living sacrifices to God, and that's our spiritual act of worship. So therefore, music is part of that, but it's not the only thing that counts as worship. There's a reality, though, that in the music, Christian music world, worship is a shorthand for Christian music. That word will get thrown about, and often people don't actually mean that's their only act of worship, but they'll throw it about. So I think we need to be very, very careful, though, that we don't equate church music with all of our worship.
Trevor, what would you say?
Yeah, I totally agree. It's all of life, but there's a particular... I mean, we're writing songs and we're leading music in churches because we think it does play a particular role as well. So God has given us that
absolutely
great gift to let the word of Christ dwell richly among us as we sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. There is a place for it, but it's not the only place of worship, obviously.
Mm. How important has emu music been in this whole equation, in its little kind of box, in its 10 years of existence? What's distinctive about its music, Trevor?
I think, again, it's this pursuit of lyrical integrity and words that will teach and encourage and build up hand in hand with strong songs and strong music.
So at Twist, there'll be music clinics, also a concert, which is a nice little addition. And Greg, you're talking about taking music in church to a new level in those clinics. Mm. Explain what you mean by that. Sounds good for marketing, but I think, okay, what's that mean?
Probably best to say what it doesn't mean first, and it doesn't mean excellence and showiness for the sake of excellence and showiness.
Okay.
But it does mean pursuing excellence and quality for the sake of allowing your church to be undistracted by what is going on in the music team. John Piper has this great phrase where he says that what's going on our platforms in church should be undistracting excellence. It's happening and you almost don't notice it's happening because it's happening so well. And so I think that's something that we'd love church music teams to be working towards, is getting to that point where they're standing alongside their congregations and doing it in such a way that actually gets behind and supports and encourages that singing. So it's that in terms of the actual sound and the music and all that sort of thing. But more than anything, I think it's about the heart. It's really, you know, these workshops and these clinics are all about driving people to engage with God personally and then allow that to come out in the way that they serve through church music, and to do so with love and authenticity and passion, something that is beyond just going through the motions, but they actually feel a real drive and desire to serve God.
Nice answer to wrap up our conversation. A very interesting conversation. And you've brought some music, Greg, of yours in with Rob Smith. You've written On Our Side. To take us out, what's it say?
Well, this is a song that will be on the new Emu music album that's coming out. It's called Atonement. The song stemmed from a series that was happening at our church on Exodus, and I wrote a song with Rob Smith around the idea of on our side. In Psalm 124, Israel says, if the Lord had not been on our side, we would not have escaped from Egypt. And so it's this idea that our God is positively inclined towards his people, and we see that in Christ's work on the cross. We see it in the language of Romans, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's not to say that he gives us everything that we want and is on our side in that respect, but he's for his people and he loves his people and he cares for his people.
Sounds good. So the Twist Conference on Saturday, 19th of October at the Shore School in North Sydney. Trevor Hodge, Greg Cooper, thank you so much indeed for joining us on Open House.
Thanks so much.
And this is On Our Side.
us from our captor's chains. Broke the sea apart, carried us on eagle's wings. With a mighty hand, you have shown your glory, brought us to a land free to serve your holy name. And so we sing, oh, you've done, you are on our side. For you are our strength and song, you are on our side.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.